As we remember those who have fought for this country and made it possible for us to openly have a time of worship like this, to be able to serve God and to follow him, we're thankful for the men and women who have given their lives over the years. If you have a family member or a loved one that you've lost in military service, we certainly honor those today. And as you remember tomorrow, we pray that it's a good time of memorial, that you would remember. I would point your attention to the Veterans Memorial down here in South Lebanon. There's a brand new bench that this church supported, paid for, so that it would honor those who served. And so I would encourage you to take a stop down there today, tomorrow, and see that. It's beautiful. It's a great recognition and memorial of those who have served and many who are connected to this church. And so we're thankful for the service of the men and women in this country. Would you grab your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10? If you have a Bible, if you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you there. If you're online, you can click and pull it up in an online Bible. But Hebrews chapter 10, I want us to look at some verses. And last week I started this talking about the perfect church member. And we talked about living a godly life. And a lot of times I say, if you want to join First Baptist, you got to do these four things that we encourage you to live a godly life, attend services, give, and then serve. Live, attend, give, and serve. And over the course of the last 3 years, I've thrown those four words at you over and over. And sometimes people are like, well, where's your scriptural reference here? And so last week we talked about the first one, living a godly life, and we looked in detail at that. And so if you missed last week, go back and look online, you can see that one. But today I want to talk about why church matters. Why does it matter that I'm asking you, or that we ask you as a church, to attend service as a member? Why is it important to come to church? I want us to see some scriptures that talk about this, and I want to just encourage you on what God's word says. So if you're with me, say yeah.
Yeah.
All right, those of you online, hopefully you said it in your living room. But in Hebrews chapter 10, let me just give you this before we stand up. I wanted to just kind of give you a little bit of context here. The Hebrews is this, it's a really unique book. It's very theological and very pastoral. It's a pastoral letter, but it's also got a lot of theology in it. And the first 10 chapters are all about doctrine. And if you were to go and take time maybe this week to read the first 10 chapters, you're going to see doctrine. You're going to see things like, I'll just flip through here. You're going to see like the nature of the Son, Jesus. They're going to talk about our apostle and priest, and you're going to talk about our high priest, which is Jesus, the problem of immaturity. They're going to talk about a superior priesthood, a heavenly priesthood, the old covenant, the new covenant. And then you're going to get to chapter 10, and these verses that we're about to read are kind of this hinge point that goes from a doctrinal to a practical exhortation. It's like, it's very practical, very hands-on, very here's what needs to happen, here's what I'm challenging you or encouraging you to do. And so when you get to these, there's actually three verses. I'm not going to read all three of them, but the first one is in 22, 23, and 24. If you look at the beginning of each of those verses, it says, well, in my translation, let us draw near. Then verse 23, let us hold on to. And then verse 24, let us watch out for. So those three are kind of this hinge point in the book of Hebrews that goes from doctrine to practically, this is what I'm challenging you to do. This is what I want you to understand. So if you're with me, go like this. All right, some of you caught on, some of you are with me. We're gonna dig deep here. So I want you to stand to your feet if you're able to do so for the reading of God's word. We're gonna look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. Starting in verse 24 says, let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pause and pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenge that we have before us today. I thank you for your church, not only this church, but the church universal. We're thankful, God, that there are services happening right now all over this country and all over this world, drawing people to surrender to you. And I pray that right now, your Holy Spirit in this moment, in this place, and those watching online, those in this room, would be drawn to surrender to you. If there are those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would convict and draw them to surrender to you. If there are those who have followed you but have never followed in believer's baptism, I pray that you'd give them the boldness to step forth for you and to make it happen, to show everyone on the outside what they've done on the inside. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move, convict us of sin, draw us to a place of surrender in every area of our lives. Bless this service now. In your name we pray, amen. As you're seated, I just want you to kind of continue to think about this. I've got a bunch of, I got five different things I want you to see. And if you have our church app, the blanks are in there and you can fill that out. Or if you got a bulletin, you can write them down. But there's five different things that I'm talking about here today, dealing with why church matters. The first one is that it's God's design. Church is God's design. He designed it. It's not something that somebody came up with and was like, oh, let's do this. Let's get people that believe alike together. It's God established the church. It's not man-made. It was Jesus' idea. It's his body on earth. And so we're called to gather together. If you look at the book of Acts and see from the early church in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, talking about they cared about one another, they loved each other, they worshiped together daily, and people were coming to believe in Jesus, and they followed, right? There was thousands that were coming. They cared. If somebody had a need, they sold their stuff and helped them. So you think from the very early part of it, this is God's design, that he established his church. And it's this gathering, and it's central for our spiritual life. It's a very important thing that we understand today, that God designed it. And so it's not like, oh, we're asking you to do something that God said is optional. No, he wants us to be a part of a body of believers, that we are better together, that when we join, man, we serve him and we can make a difference together. Church is where we grow. That's number two. Church is where we grow. When we come together, you can grow spiritually. Spiritual growth happens in community. When you have people that believe like you do and that study scripture together, there's teaching, there's correction, like, hey, I saw this in you. I saw you act this way. I saw you talk this way this week. I saw you being very discouraging. And we can hold each other accountable. There's accountability when we are a part of a church. We encourage one another. We love one another. We disciple one another. And that's what all of those things flourish in a church setting. That we can come together at 9:45 and have Bible studies together happening all the way down this building of young people all the way up to the older folks. And we do that not just to have an hour, to have something to do for an hour, but it's all of those things, that there's teaching, that there's correction, that there's encouragement, there's discipleship. We're growing closer to the Lord together. And so church is where we grow. Ephesians 4 talks about equipping the saints for the works of ministry until we all reach unity in the faith, that we are equipped, that we care for one another, we love one another, we encourage one another, we're learning about scripture together. Here's what happens when we miss church: isolation. When we isolate ourselves and say, I'm not gonna go to church, I'm gonna take a few weeks off, I'm gonna take a few years off. Isolation weakens our faith. Man, it's so much harder to do things alone and to do things on our own. I brought this up here as a illustration. I want you to see this. I was thinking this week, there are a lot of times, man, my kids love bonfires. And so I brought this, actually Jim got this for me. And I got this, and I was thinking of my life as a Christian. And there are times where they always throw out this term of being on fire for God. Like, I'm going to be on fire for him. And so I thought, if I light this log on stage during the message, this would be a great point for everybody to see. Like, I'm on fire for God. Like, but the longer I hold this, you guys got 10 hours to wait, and I'm going to need a couple more sticks. Right? It's not going to happen. Firefighter down here telling me it's not going to happen. Exactly, it's not going to happen. But look, over a long period of time, if maybe I got a bigger flame, it might happen, right? But this is waterlogged. It's really heavy in my hand. And so my thought process is that this would take a really long time. Yet we as Christians, we go a long time and go, man, I'm on fire for God, but I'm not gonna go to church. I'm on fire for God, and I'll come like twice a month to service, but I'm not gonna be a part of a Bible study because that takes an extra hour for me to get up, and I'm tired during the week. And so we sit here and go, well, I'm on fire. But when I was telling you, isolation weakens our faith. When we separate and we go, I'm not gonna be a part of every service. I'm not gonna pour in that much. This is kind of what happens. We're trying to be on fire, but it's not catching, right? It's not a big flame. It's not even making a dent in this waterlogged piece of wood. But if I were to put it in something like this, take a look at this. That would work, right? If I threw this in that, what's happening? That's happening. It's crackling. It's burning. It's getting really hot. All of a sudden, I need Jim to turn the air conditioning down because it's flames that are happening right here. But when we throw a log that's separate, when you have a pile and you throw it in there, all of a sudden, we go from just trying to light one log to this massive fire. And so when you think about it as a body of believers, that you can turn that off now because I'm getting too hot. As a body of believers, when we join together, when we isolate, we weaken, but when we join together in community, when we sit amongst each other and we encourage one another and we look at each other and we say, hey, you look like you've had a bad week. What's going on? How can I pray for you? Or when somebody puts a prayer request on our app, we go on there and we say, hey, I'm praying for you. I care for you. Hey, I sat next to you in Bible study last week and I saw that you were struggling and I'm praying for you. And maybe we send a text and maybe we call somebody and we say, hey, I hadn't seen you in service. You haven't been sitting in the same pew where you normally sit, and I'm worried about you. That's this coming together. It's a community that cares for one another. It's unity in the faith. When you read in that Ephesians chapter 4, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, till we all reach unity in the faith. But instead, sometimes we come into service and we argue. Or we come to church and we're upset with one another, and we're mad about things that happen or things that don't happen or things somebody said or things somebody did. And when you stop and you understand that the church, we're supposed to be growing, we're supposed to be these logs that are on fire, that care for one another, that are drawing close to the Lord, that when we pile them all together and close in, man, the flames get bigger. But instead we come to church, we're mad. You're mad at me about something I did. Well, you took and did this, or you changed that, or you made this. And the bottom line, it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus is telling us, we got to grow together. We got to have unity. We got to have community. We got to care for one another. And instead of doing that, we sometimes do the opposite. We pull our log out of the flames and say, I'm just going to go over here, and I'm not going to go for a while until they change that, or until this is different, or until that person says sorry. And what God's word is teaching us is something totally different, to live in unity, to care for one another, to encourage one another, to have love. And so I want you to stop. I want you to think. I'm not calling any one specific person, so don't come up to me and say, you were preaching to me. This is the Holy Spirit working through me, that there are times where I'm upset about somebody said something or did something or acted a certain way, and there are times where I don't want to come sometimes because there's people are mad about everything. And I want you to stop and to see what God's word says the church is supposed to be. And so my challenge for you is that you would think about this, that this is a place where we're supposed to grow. This is a place where we're supposed to put our log in the fire every Sunday, and iron sharpens iron, and care for one another and pray for one another and encourage one another. And so when I challenge you to join First Baptist, what I'm saying is that I want you to join so that you can do these things, so that you can live a godly life, so that you can be accountable to one another and pray for one another, encourage one another. When I say come to service, live, attend, and be here, it's because God's saying, I want you to grow. I want you to learn about what I'm telling you in this word, in this book. I want you to be, to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And when you take yourself out of the fire and you seclude yourself, you're not growing the way that you could as a body. You don't have those people around you that are encouraging you. And so I love that we have people that watch us online, that we have a couple hundred views every week online, people that are watching. And I want to encourage you at home, come be a part of what God's doing here in this church. It's not just come so that we can fill this place up. We want to fill it up for God's glory, but we come so that we can grow, so that we can be accountable to one another, so we can encourage one another, so that we can love and care for people. How many times do you have something happen in your life that's tough, that's difficult, that you're crying about, that you're emotional about, that you don't know how you're gonna handle it. And then you don't have somebody to call. You don't have somebody to pour it out to. That's the beauty of a body of believers, is that you go to Bible studies together so that when there's difficult times, you can lean on them and say, hey, I've got this going on and I don't know how to handle it. And so that when there's good things happen, you can come in, the same thing applies. You come in the room and you say, hey, God blessed me with this. God did this in my family. God got a hold of this. Look at all these good things. And so it's this joy and this community. We grow together. If you're still with me, go like this, all right? Don't be mad at me, all right? Because I'm mad at myself, all right? There are times where I stumble, where I don't do it. And so I'm challenging you, that you would take your log and you put it on the fire, that every single week you make church a priority. It's like coming together so that God can do something with that fire, that God can change you, that God can mold you into what he wants you to be. We grow as a church, we grow as individuals when we are unified together. Church is a place of support and accountability. That's the third thing. We encourage and we strengthen one another. Hebrews 10. 24 and 25, the verses that we read. Look one more time and think about this. Think about this being a place of support and accountability. Let's watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're told to provoke love and good works. That word there, that provoke, is usually a bad term. It's usually about something bad, like you provoked me to anger, or you provoked me to do something that I shouldn't have done. But in this text, in this context, he's saying, he's provoking us to love and to good deeds. Like, this is a positive thing, that we would challenge one another, we would be there for one another, we would encourage each other to love and to do good works, not neglecting coming together. And it's so easy to get out of the habit of coming to church, and we miss so much. We miss this accountability, we miss support. And maybe one week turns to two, turns to three, turns to a month, and if nobody reaches out and says something, we get really mad about it, right? Nobody noticed that I was gone. When we plug in, when you say, man, I'm not only gonna come to service, but I'm gonna plug into a Bible study, I'm gonna come on Wednesday to our discipleship times, or I'm gonna find a place that I can serve, then you're surrounding yourself, and there's more people that get to know you and that care for you. And we bear each other's burdens, and we have these authentic relationships. Real Christian fellowship happens face to face. I wrote that down because 5 years ago, when that pandemic hit and we couldn't be face to face, a lot of churches couldn't meet in person. And then they put these masks on our faces. You couldn't really see if somebody was hurting. You couldn't really see if they were angry. You couldn't see if they were smiling. It was one of the most difficult times in my life. As a relational person, I wanted to care for people. I wanted to talk to people. And in ministry, you're looking at people and going, hey, what's going on with your life? But you couldn't see. All you saw was their eyes. And so when you think about real Christian fellowship, face-to-face, caring for one another, when you sit down and you see somebody who is struggling, and you know they look like they're struggling, they look like they had a tough week, they look like they had a tough day, you can be the kind of Christ follower that says, hey, I'm gonna love. I'm gonna show God's love. I'm gonna ask them how they're doing. I'm gonna check on them. You notice that somebody's not here today. Maybe you call them, you send a text, say, hey, I missed you in church. Hey, I didn't see you in Bible study. I wanna encourage you to come. See how that support and accountability is there when we love, when we show God's love. Number four is that church is where we serve and are equipped. This is gonna come into play in the next couple weeks when we talk about living godly life, attending service, giving, and serving. But in church, we serve and we're equipped to do what God wants us to do. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but every believer has a gift. Every believer, every person who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior has been gifted with some gift, all right? You have a gift, and it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, you can use that gift for God's glory. You can do something, and you may think, oh, it's just a small thing. It's a massive thing to somebody else. If you say, man, I got the gift of encouragement, And there's somebody sitting there that's hurting, that's struggling, that nobody's talked to, that they're dealing with things that nobody else knows about. And you just say an encouraging word that, hey, it looks like you're having a tough day. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. That can turn someone's day upside down from crying, from sadness, to understanding that there's somebody that cares about them. And so you may think, oh, it's just a small thing that I do, but I'm pretty good at it. But God wants you to use that gift. Every believer has a gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, you can look at that. But the church provides us with a place to use those gifts. And so maybe there's a gift that you haven't been using. I want to challenge you. Maybe you need to start a ministry. Maybe you need to plug into a ministry to use that gift to serve. We grow by giving, by serving, by not just receiving. I think a lot of times people come to churches and they sit and they want, hey, just feed me, do something, say something to me, make this an exciting service for me, make the music really good for me. And when you stop and understand that church is not just a show that we watch, but it's a body that we serve in. And that when you come, it's not really about you unless you're not a believer. That it is about you because we want you to come to know Christ. We want you to accept Jesus. But the church is a place that is for you, all right? It's for you to come, to give, to serve, to participate in, to light that fire, to keep that bonfire going crazy big, and to say, hey, I'm going to put my little two cents here, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to love on people, and I'm going to do all I can so that people that don't know Jesus will come to know him. And so that's where we serve, and we're equipped, and we're doing what God wants us to do. The church is not just about making it a show. It's about Jesus. It's about pointing everyone to him. And so it's a witness to the world. Lastly, this morning, church is a witness to the world. And if you come into church every week and you're looking for something bad or you're looking for something that you don't like, guess what? Probably gonna find it. You come in, you're looking for bad, you're looking for, my message to not be very good, it's probably not gonna be very good. If you're looking for the music to be one thing and it's a different thing, you're probably gonna be upset about that. But I want you to understand, the church is a witness to the world. That when we come in and we have unity and we have love for one another and we have a testimony of faith, when we God has done things in our lives and we are stoking this fire and trying to make it bigger and we're encouraging others to follow Jesus, it's a witness to the world. And the opposite is so true. That churches that continue to fight and continue to look at things that they're mad about and to be upset about things that the pastor said or did or things that happened in Bible study or that person in the hallway said this or that to me. And the devil gets those little wedges in us that separate things and that cause this to, instead of being a witness to the world, that this is a place of love and a place of God's forgiveness and a place of joy, it becomes an angry place. Where that you don't want to sit in a pew because that might be close to the person who said that or did that or looked at you funny in the hallway. If we stop and understand that God wants us to be a church of unity and a church of love and a church that has a strong faith and we care for one another and we're a light to a dark world, then we've got to be a church that does what God's asking us to do, to love the way that God's asking us to love, to forgive the way that he's asking us to forgive. And so if there are things in our relationships or in our families or in our church that you're upset about, then you got to lay it, give it to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry and forgive me if I'm in the wrong. And God, I open my hands and freely give it to you. How often do we pull things back and say, I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to grab my log and I'm going to go and I'm going to just serve God over here. And you see how that happens, how that weakens the fire that is God's word and God's faith and God's love and God using us as a church. Our gathering together is a statement of faith, and it's a light to our community. When we talk about this 5-mile radius around this building, we're showing this light to this 5-mile radius around us, that we're being a light to the community around us. We're sharing and showing God's love. But when we stop and we fight, and when we say, I'm upset about this, and we pull our log out and say, I'm only gonna come every other week, or I'm gonna come to church, but I'm not gonna go to Bible study. Man, it weakens that relationship with him, with each other, and we cannot be as bright of a witness to the world when we allow those things to divide us. My challenge, my prayer for you is that today you would think about this, making church a priority. God wants more than occasional attendance. He wants commitment. And so when I challenge you to join this church, it means living a godly life. It means attending, it means being faithful as much as you possibly can. Not just casually, hey, if I feel like it, hey, if I get up on time, hey, if everything's happened good in the week, then I'll go to church. But maybe we have to reorder our priorities. Make gathering at church a priority. It's a non-negotiable part of life. Man, growing up, my parents, it was a forced thing. It didn't matter what we had going on. It didn't matter if we felt good. It didn't matter if our hair was right. We were going to church. And I knew it wasn't an option. If somebody asked me to do something during the week and said, hey, on Sunday, we're going to do this, my parents, I wouldn't even ask my mom or my dad. Church was non-negotiable. It's not going to happen. We're going to church. We have to take action. We have to prioritize God and believing and following him, showing up, serving, growing, inviting others to do that. Many of you here today are here because somebody invited you. I would say the majority are here because somebody invited you or somebody made you come. Hey, you're going to church with me. Hey, I want you to come and to sit with me. Take action. I wonder if today, if we just got real honest with God and say, I want to remove these things that are keeping me from being as committed and a follower as I should be. I want to take my log that's been separate and I want to put it in with the fire and just say, I want to grow closer. I want to be on fire for him. I want to let the disunity, I want to let the unforgiveness go. I want to lay it down at your feet. I want to challenge you. The altar is going to be open here in a moment that you just maybe kneel and just give it to God and say, God, here's some things that have gotten in the way. Here's some things that have made me not happy to come to church every single week. In Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I wonder if that's our heart. I wonder if that's really what swells up inside of us when you wake up and you go, I got to go to church. I get to go to church. I get to join with other believers and love and show God's love and show God's care and be there for people. I get to invite somebody to come with me this week. Like, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Or is it a drudgery that, oh, I got to go to church again? This is a church that I'm praying that God would ignite that fire, that the fire, the crackling with the burning and the excitement is each of us joining together and saying, I want to be a light to this community, this 5-mile radius. I want my life and I want my family's life and I want this church and my Bible study that I'm a part of. I want it all to be a light for him and I want to be joyful when I come into this place. I want to invite others. You know what? It's so contagious when you go somewhere and they're excited to be there. I walked into Walmart not too long ago and the greeter at the door turned his back. I was walking in and he saw me coming in and just went like this. And I walked in going, welcome to Walmart, to myself. But I went another time and I remember this, a person that was standing there and he was kind of doing this little like that. And I was like, what is going on? And he was like, welcome to Walmart. And I remember thinking, dude, well, I feel welcome to Walmart. I want to go spend some money, man. Like, where's my wallet? I want to give this guy some cash. Like, he was excited to be there. I wonder what people think when they sit down in the pew next to you. Or is it, hey, welcome to church. I'm excited that you're here. Man, we create an atmosphere, but it's God, it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to surrender and to be loving and to be kind and to be caring and to invite people. We invite not because we have a perfect church. We invite so that they can hear the message of hope. We have a lost and dying world, and there's people all around you that don't know Jesus. And so, why don't we take this serious? Why don't we put our log in the fire and say, God, I want to follow you with everything. God, I want to not just come to church. I want to prioritize it. I want my family to see that there's something different about coming to church. I want this community to see that there's something different about First Baptist South Lebanon. I want to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. It's bigger than just, oh, be happy and smile and come to church. It's unity. It's growing in the Lord. It's being on fire for Jesus. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, my prayer is that you would get the things out of the way that maybe have hindered you from being a light, from being as on fire and fired up for him as you should be. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And as you do that, I just want you to think about this. If you're here, or you're watching online, you've never followed Jesus, you've never accepted his gift of salvation, today is the day of salvation. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can surrender to him. You can invite him to save you, and he will do that for all eternity. You can walk out of this service. You can turn your computer off knowing you'll spend forever with him in heaven. The thief on the cross never had a chance to go to church, never had a chance to be faithful at following, right? He was hanging there. And he looked over and he saw Jesus and he said, I want what he has. I want to go to your kingdom. And Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. It didn't take church membership, but you have an opportunity to do what God's word's telling you. You have an opportunity to accept Jesus and to live differently, to be a light to your community, to be a light to your family. And so if you've never followed Jesus, accept him today. If you're a Christian and there's some things in the way, kneel at the altar, surrender it to him, and leave different. God, I thank you for today. If there are those that need to make a decision for you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move, draw people to surrender. If there are those that need to accept you as Savior, pray right now, they would do that. If there are Christians who need to get things right, I pray that right now they would do that. If there are people here, families here that need to join this church to live, attend, give, and serve, and to be a light for you, I pray that they do that today. In your name we pray, amen.